Many flights carrying U.S. troops to and from Iraq and Afghanistan stopped to refuel at the easternmost major airport in the United States in Bangor, Maine. And right from the start, people there have been on hand to greet the troops off the plane.
This is going to be the inbound flight coming in. It's going to be the inbound flight coming home.
Hey.
Coming home. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home.
Since they started in 2003, the Maine troop greeters have sent off and welcomed home more than 900,000 men and women in uniform. Over time, they've gone beyond handshakes, congratulations, and hugs to offer cookies and donuts and free cell phones.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, Mom. I'm in Maine.
Dad.
Well, hey there, young lady.
Guess where I'm at?
We in Maine right now.
We in Maine right now.
We are Yakiyathiki in Maine.
I'm back in the United States.
Feels pretty damn good.
There were people here to greet us and everything. It was awesome.
All these vets that were just on a line that came down here to welcome us when we came into the terminal.
This is where Stephen King lives.
Daddy be home soon, okay, honey? I love you very much, and I miss you.
The troop greeters of Bangor, Maine are the subject of a new documentary called The Way We Get By. It starts to air tonight on PBS as part of the POV series. If you've been greeted on your way to or from Iraq and Afghanistan, tell us your story. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Aaron Gaudette is the director of The Way We Get By. He joins us now from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you with us today.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
And I understand this project began for you when you made a phone call home and nobody answered.
Right. Yeah. My mom is one of the Maine troop greeters. And, you know, when she retired, she would always be home and I would call a lot to check in and she would always answer the phone. And then suddenly she didn't. And I would call later and later. I'd be calling at 11 p.m. or midnight and she still wasn't home. And I would call my brothers and sisters and say, you know, where's mom? And they would say, oh, well, she goes to the airport and she greets troops now. So when I finally got her on the phone, she told me I should be calling her cell phone, which kind of surprised me. I wasn't sure why she had a cell phone. And when I went home for Christmas that year, I just had to see what she was doing. And that was kind of the start of it all.
Well, Aaron's mother, Joan, is also with us today. She joins us from the studios at Maine Public Broadcasting in Bangor. Nice to have you on the program.
Thank you.
And how did you get started with greeting troops at the airport and hanging out at all strange hours?
A lady that I used to work with saw me one day, and she was on her way to go to the airport to greet a flight and asked me if I'd like to join her. So I did, and that's about all it takes. After you go once, then you're hooked. You don't want to give it up.
It's a little addictive, you say in the film.
It is.
And I wonder what one of the things you also say in the film is you're no longer a young woman and that you were frightened, particularly in the winters there in Maine, which can be ferocious, that if you left the house, there's a lot of snow and ice you could slip on and fall.
Well, that's right. But I've had knee replacements and I'm always afraid to fall because I can't get on my knees to get back up. So that's one of the reasons.
And let's get back to Aaron Gaudette there in New York. As you found out about what your mother was doing and how much it had changed her life, you began to see an opportunity for a film here.
Yeah, I mean, she was suddenly so dedicated and so active and just out at the airport all the time. So I was actually living in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I went home for Christmas in December of 2004, and she got a call for a 2 a.m. flight, and my now wife, but also film producer, Gita Palapoli, and I tagged along with her and went to that 2 a.m. flight, and that was the start. We met one of the other subjects we follow, World War II veteran Bill Knight, and earlier that day he had been diagnosed with prostate cancer, but he was still there at 2 a.m. to greet troops, and that really just grabbed us that even on that day he was putting the troops ahead of himself. And that was kind of it. When a flight came in, we were kind of addicted as well, and we just figured it was a story worth telling.
And some of the people that you do follow, like Bill you were talking about, are veterans, and they wear their World War II veteran baseball caps. Obviously, your mom is not.
Right. My dad was active during the Korean War, but yeah, her connections are through him, and also she has three grandchildren that serve. And I think also she spent her life taking care of people. You know, I'm the youngest of eight, and She has 12 grandchildren, and she worked at a nursing home for much of her career. And I think when she retired and we all grew up, she had some extreme empty nest syndrome, and she was looking for some new people to take care of.
Well, Joan Gaudette, the film tells the story of the departure of your granddaughter.
Yes, it does.
And she's a helicopter pilot. How's she doing?
She's doing good. She is the helicopter pilot. That really scared me when she left, but everything's fine. Everyone that went with them came back with them.
Well, that's great to hear. That's really great to hear. I think it was 132 people in her unit left, and they swore to bring 132 people home.
And they did it.
Yeah. That's wonderful news. Let's see if we get some callers on the line. We'd like to hear from people today who've been met, greeted at airports, or whether in Bangor, Maine, or elsewhere. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Jesse's on the line from Denver.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Jesse, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate all that the people of Bangor, Maine do. I've been out to Iraq and back a couple times with the Marine Corps, and each time I was really surprised at how many people came out to greet me and shake my hand and make me feel really proud to do what I did.
It's unusual to come out at the airport like that. I don't know what time of day it was, but that doesn't matter, it seems, to the people of Bangor.
Right. No, it's usually, I think, if I remember right, a couple of years ago, in the middle of the night. And, you know, it's a lot of war veterans and families that have members in the military. And, you know, for that many people to come out in the middle of the night, it's just, it makes you feel like you're not alone and you're doing something that you're supposed to do.
Jesse, are you due back any time?
No, I'm actually I'm in active reserve, so if I did deploy, I wouldn't mind if they gave me a call. But no, I'm doing the civilian life now.
So if you go back to Bangor, it's going to be as a tourist?
Absolutely, or you know, to shake the hands of the Marines and troops that are outgoing or coming home.
I recommend you go in summer.
Absolutely, yeah, it can get kind of chilly out there.
Thanks very much for the call, Jesse. Appreciate it. Let's see if we go next to this is Eric. Eric with us from Tempe, Arizona.
Hi, thank you for having me on. I just wanted to say a thank you. Very emotional experience. We came home that particular deployment in 2005 after about a 17-hour flight, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and we were walking down the jetway, and we didn't expect anything. And then these wonderful people, you know, had signs. They had cookies. They had orange juice. They had coffee, and they had cell phones. And one gentleman kept trying to hand me a cell phone. I said, no, I'd been in almost 20 years by that time, and my wife's a trooper. I've been all over the world, but he wouldn't take no for an answer. That was a very emotional phone call. I'm so thankful for what they did. That was very kind at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Eric, I can hear in your voice the memory is a little emotional too.
Yes, they are very emotional. But like I said, I've been all over the world, and I'm used to just coming home, grabbing my suitcase, throwing it in the car, and going home. And the people of Bangor, Maine, were just so wonderful to us, and I'm so thankful for that. That's a tremendous service. It's a tremendous sacrifice, and I really appreciate their help.
Eric, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Joan Gaudette, it must be great to hear people like that. Thank you for what you do.
It is. I love to hear that. And that's the way we want it to be, for them to really feel welcomed home and glad to be back.
And Aaron, let's get back to the son and the filmmaker, Aaron Gaudette, who's with us from New York. That is superficially what this film is about. You go a little bit more deeply into the lives of, well, your mom and the two other men you profile to explain a little bit about what it means to be elderly in America and what it means to have something greater than yourself to give yourself to, even late in life.
Yeah, you know, I think that simple act of kindness that they were doing, the greeting, is what first attracted us. But as soon as we went home with each of them and saw everything that they were going through outside the airport, the focus of the film kind of shifted a little bit, and it did become more about them and all their struggles with growing old and a lot of universal struggles that anybody at any age could face. And I think that really became the heart of the movie. And it was just great to see how the troop greeting helped them through each of their obstacles. You know, they would be having a bad day and that phone would ring about a troop flight coming in and their whole demeanor would change. And they'd just rush to the airport. And it was just great to see over and over again how that improved their lives and helped them through all of their obstacles.
As you mentioned, Bill Knight, a World War II veteran who has prostate cancer, the other person you follow in addition to your mom is Jerry Mundy, who's got heart problems and has to start taking medication for his heart in the course of this film and then loses his best friend, his dog. This is very touching stuff.
Yeah, they were going through a lot of stuff as we were following them, and every time we would go up, it just seemed like all this stuff was happening to them, and we just felt like they opened their lives to us so much. They were so open and honest and genuine with us that we just felt like they put their trust in us, and we really had to honor that and try to tell their story truthfully and honestly, and they're just three real, genuine people, and what they're doing is very inspiring to me, and they taught me a lot about life as I made the movie.
I don't want to give anything. Well, I do want to give something away. There's the Bill, one of the people you profile, says to you at one point, and it's a heart-wrenching scene. He says, "I don't have for me anything left to live for. There's nothing left for me in this life. I live to do this."
Yeah, that was a really emotional day. I know Gita and Dan, my friend Dan, that shot the film with me and myself. We walked out that day all wiping tears from our eyes, and it was it's kind of one of those things that I would never want to feel myself. So to see him going through it was really tough. But one of the most rewarding things about the film is we've been able to take my mom and Bill and Jerry on the road with the film as we've shown it theatrically. And Bill, you know, they don't walk into to a theater following the film without getting a standing ovation. It's really pretty special. And so many people will come up to Bill and hug him and thank him and say how much he's moved them. And to have the film come back around and give him that lift and show him that he hasn't outlived his usefulness and he has a lot to offer has been really rewarding.
We're talking with Aaron Gaudet, director of the POV film The Way We Get By, which begins airing on PBS tonight. Also with us is mother Joan Gaudet, one of the main troop greeters. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. This is Celia. Celia with us from Fort Drum in New York, upstate.
Hi, Neil. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
First, I want to thank you for doing this film. I think it's so remarkable. I'm actually an Army veteran, and I deployed to Iraq at the start of the war in early May of 2003. And I remember when we went out of Bangor, nobody even knew, you know, soldiers at that point. That was pretty much the hub of going in and out from, you know, whatever installation you were flying from initially to go to Iraq and then back to the States. Unfortunately, I personally did not have the welcome crew. I wasn't blessed with that for these wonderful people who come out. But I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart what you do for me as a veteran, for my husband, who is still in right now. He's actually in Iraq, and I'm sure him and all of his soldiers will so appreciate it whenever they come back to see, you know, the welcome crew. It really warms my heart.
Celia, thanks for the call. We wish your husband the best there in Iraq.
Oh, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go next to, this is Andrew. Andrew with us from La Crosse in Wisconsin.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead, please.
I was calling just to say how wonderful it was in particular to be greeted by older veterans of people who were there for our country when we were really in need of what they did for us. As a younger veteran, I just did a four-year enlistment with the Air Force, and I came back through Bangor in 2007, and I was greeted by these older veterans, and I thought it was just such an honor for them to thank me for what I did.
It's interesting. You can't watch this film as an outsider and not see the faces of the older vets and look at the kids is what they are, a lot of them coming off the plane and think, gee, what are they going to be doing in 45 or 50 years?
Right.
Yeah. Andrew, thanks very much for the call.
You're welcome. Thanks.
And let's see if we get one more caller in. This is Ed with us from Traverse City in Michigan.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, I was going through Bangor, surprised that anybody would even be there in the fall of 93, going off to Africa and onto Somalia. And we sat in St. Louis getting ready to ship out all day, and it was kind of a lonely, scary experience. And then to come into Bangor and, you know, have these people reach out and touch you and thank you for going off to war was quite refreshing and well needed, and I was really surprised to even see that.
Yeah, yeah. It means a lot to think that people at home remember who you are and what you're doing and why it's important.
It is, and it was well appreciated. And when I think of Veterans Day, I think of Korean, World War II, and Vietnam guys who really changed the world, because, you know, nowadays it's a political war. It's not really anything where the world's going to crumble if we're not there, so it was appreciated.
All right, Ed. Thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Joan, again, you're hearing what your activities did for these men and women who called up. It's also done a lot for you, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Makes me feel really good to think so many people appreciate what we do. We have such a good time doing that. Sometimes it just doesn't feel like, oh, I don't want to say not important, because it is, but it's a different feeling. And then when you hear someone say how much it meant to them, that really makes your day.
Joan Gaudette, thanks very much, and continue with your good work.
Thank you.
Joan Gaudette, a Maine troop greeter. Also, thanks to her son, Aaron. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Aaron Gaudette is a documentary filmmaker. His most recent, The Way We Get By, you can see it beginning tonight, Veterans Day, on PBS. Check your local listings. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.